Don Cheadle, eh?
Don Cheadle, eh?
Is he going to get an Oscar for this one? Or at least nominated? He deserves it. He's
wonderful.
I mean, Hotel Rwanda really got me with him, but this one, if he's not up for it, I would be mad.
He's one of the most delightful people to work with. Such a pro. Mm-hmm. And so collaborative. Really, really great. I got so lucky with him.
Was he your first pick?
Yeah, absolutely. It was like the first words out of my mouth when I first walked in for my first meeting as a director.
Because I'm trying to, you know, picture in that role who else. I mean, once you probably got that in your head, that was probably it, right?
Well, it's interesting because I had, I wanted him in the movie. He could have played either part. If he told me, you know, I really relate to Dewey, I'd have been good. Mm-hmm. But when I heard that he wanted to play Petey, that's when I got really excited. I love the piece anyway, but the thought of Don Cheadle playing Petey Green, because it's just not something we'd seen, especially with Rwanda, mm-hmm. you know. He was so heroic and noble and upstanding, mm-hmm. you know. I really wanted to be a part of this performance where he gets to be outrageous and raunchy and raw.
It shows his diversity. It's a different character for mm-hmm. him. What's the statement that this film makes? I mean, it makes several and a big one.
I can really think of several, and I never am making a movie to make a statement. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm making a movie because of the way I relate to it. And because of what it's saying to me, or what I think I can say with it. But it's more what I think I can say with it as an artist, as opposed to what I'm trying to say something to you, you know?
Right.
I do think it's interesting when you talk to young people who really don't remember the 60s at all, mm-hmm. and can only access it through the memories of others and movies, you know?
It almost becomes a historical document like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So you want to make it feel like you're there, you know? Mm-hmm. What did it feel like to be in the D.C. riots, or, you know, the excitement of the Tonight Show, you know?
Yeah, it seems that the authenticity to the movie and getting it as real and as accurate, and getting a lot of local people involved, mm-hmm. Was really important in the project.
Yeah, I mean, we tried to be incredibly respectful to the time and place and the characters. You know, while not being absolutely constrained by the details of real-life facts, because movies just often aren't. And it's not a biopic. I never looked at it as a biopic.
Okay. Do you see kind of a, like, Howard Stern kind of story in it?
Yeah, well, Howard was influenced by Petey.
Okay.
Petey had a show, Petey Green's Washington. Howard Stern was a guest on Petey Green's Washington. It's a good story, actually, because he came in blackface, and...
Howard did?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And people were deeply offended and wrote letters and called and everything, but Pete thought it was funny.
Huh.
So he was not only irreverent, he respected the irreverence of others, you know?
So they have similarities. I mean, obviously, he's different, and he kind of branched off differently, but there were definitely similarities. And I think, like, you know, we need people like that who really push the envelope.
I totally agree.
Who do we, you know, besides Howard Stern, who do we have today like Petey Green?
I think that there are probably lots of them mm-hmm. in different outlets all over the place. But radio's different. You know, radio is different, and often stations are owned, they're part of some conglomerate, you know what I mean? They don't have the autonomy to really allow somebody on the air with that kind of point of view, you know?
So the art kind of gets tied down by the business?
So often, don't you think?
Yeah.
I wonder how long he'd last, you know? And then if he became successful, then you try and capitalize on that and, you know, package it, which is, of course, what Petey was resisting the whole time.
And, you know, why was this particular story personally important for you to tell? I mean, you could have picked a lot. What really hit home with you?
Because of the outspokenness, and also that it was an anti-censorship film. Mm-hmm. It's like, as you're reading the script, you're kind of thinking, oh, damn, this is raw. Mm-hmm. But I got into the beauty of the rawness of it. mostly for me, it was a character piece.
Okay.
And it had to do with the relationship between these two men that I came to feel was missing almost from cinema. You see a lot of buddy flicks, but they don't necessarily run deep.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really, especially Black Men. I was like, when, you know, when was the last time I saw something deep? It's interesting. I watched Uptown Saturday Night and mm-hmm. and some of those old movies, but it really was about two men to me, you know, and their friendship.
And it seemed very love hate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they always have each other's backs in the end, but it was very love hate. I mean, there's a lot of hostility,
yeah.
But they worked together really well.
Yeah. That's why I think I thought of it as Butch Cassidy and Sundance.
Okay.
Because with Butch Cassidy and Sundance, there was a lot of hostility, you know? Mm-hmm. They were always screaming at each other, you know? But at the same time, this great chemistry and love. It's about chemistry to a large extent. Why I think the movie's so good is because they had such incredible chemistry, those actors.
Mm-hmm. And what... in terms of the timing of the film, you know, obviously this is the 2000s and this is a 60s piece, you mm-hmm. know. Did you think it was important to be telling this story now or earlier or later, or was it just...
I mean, I thought it was relevant, yeah. Completely relevant. And I thought it would be good with what we're going through as a country to remind people of a time of activism mm-hmm. and outspokenness and bravery in... outspokenness, a fearlessness, really. Because we're so kind of repressed these days. It's a passive repression. You know what I mean?
Right.
We still think of ourselves as free, but yet, you know, the NSA might be listening, you know what I mean? We might be on a watch list.
What kind of, you know, if it were up to you, what kind of changes or, you know, different ways of thinking would it inspire that you would view to be a positive outcome of the film?
I think it's interesting to know that one voice can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we feel like we're so big and there's so many people, person
feel
isn't
like
important.
It's like hopeless, you know, or impotent. We just don't feel powerful. Mm-hmm. The government's so powerful, the conglomerates are so powerful that we feel we almost disappear.
Right.
And just to be able to kind of break through that noise with a voice or a thought or a desire or activism or anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting to remind people of a time when actually revolution was possible
mm-hmm.
and feared.
But a positive one for a good message mm-hmm. is something that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Did she already come back? Oh. Let's see. Oh, so what, you know, obviously a film is gauged, you know, how you gauge the success of a film is a lot of times money lately,
mm-hmm.
but was this a project for money or was it something deeper for you?
No, it wasn't a project for money. It was a project, for me, that was purely about expression.
Mm-hmm.
It was the way that I wanted to express. I needed Petey's voice to express. You know, I wanted to kind of be loud, and make a statement, you know, that meant something to me. And I needed Petey's voice to do it. At this moment in time, that's what I needed. It had nothing to do with money. I hope people see it.
Sure.
Because our experience has been that people like it, you know,
mm-hmm.
And that a variety of people can identify with it.
So it feels personally fulfilling for you because of its message and what it stands for, really.
Well, to me as an artist, you know, I can't say. I never make a movie for a message. But for me as an artist, it's the way I envisioned it. You know what I mean? And that's what's so fulfilling. You have an idea of what a movie could be, and you do it, and then you step out and you say, you know what, that came out just like I wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully people will see it and love it like I do. You know?
How long was the filming? How many days?
33 days.
Mm,
we ran through this movie.
Over how long of time?
33 days a year?
No, I mean...
I mean, like, how many weeks? Or?
Yeah.
Six
weeks. That was pretty quick.
Yeah, no, quick. Yeah.
Okay.
We started shooting, I think we...
Okay.
We started June 14th, and we were done by the last day of July.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
What are your next projects? What are you working on next?
Well, I'm trying to work on a project with these guys. We're very the producers, Mark Gordon Company.
Okay.
We're looking at a lot of a couple of specific projects that we want to do together because we liked working together. But nothing that I can specifically talk about.
Okay.
It's cool, exciting stuff though.
And do you prefer a, you know, I don't know if you would consider this like a moderate budget film. You know, it wasn't independent, obviously.
It was an independent, yeah, Focus. It was about 12.8.
Okay. The production budget was?
It wouldn't include publicity, but it's what we, you know, my budget.
And do you like the feel of that, you know, as opposed to...
I love it.
As opposed to getting $200 million in Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Like, what are the pros and the cons of doing an independent compared to doing a larger studio one?
Every time I see a huge budget, I think, oh, man, I could make, you know, 7 films. I'd make a whole bunch of good films.
Mm-hmm.
So my tendency is to, if I look at $200 million, that could buy me a lot of films.